This message, entitled Let the Redeemed of the Lord Say So, was delivered at Christ Our Rock Bible Church on August 19th, 2018 by the Reverend Roy D. Warren, Jr.
There are a few different scriptures that are going to be involved in this message, but one I think that helps to really tell the story just in and of itself is found in the book of Ruth. So if you'll turn there, the book of Ruth, chapter 4, and Cheryl, if I could ask you to go ahead and share this. This is the book of Ruth, chapter 4, and it's the first 12 verses. All right, this is chapter 4 of Ruth, and it's the first 12 verses. Praise the Lord. Amen. Redeemed of the Lord will say so. Amen.
Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by unto him, whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, Sit ye down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, sell us a parcel of the land, which was our border, Elimelech. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of the people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know. For there is none to redeem it besides thee. And I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. And this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, Buy it for thee. So he drew it off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto the people, Ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren. And from the gate of this place ye are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephrath, and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah of the seed, which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord. From beginning to end, the redeemed of the Lord will say so. Dear Lord, our hearts come before you today. We truly do desire, dear God, that your word will come into our understanding today, that we will not leave this place, dear God, not having a full grasp on what it is that you are our Redeemer. I pray, dear God, that the truth that we find in your word really through from Genesis to Revelation, will indeed inspire us, dear God, to know in the depths of our heart, Lord, that You are our only Redeemer. We talk about redemption in a lot of different ways. The word comes up from time to time through the idea of this buying back or this ransoming something or someone. But Lord, the ultimate redemption, of course, is from the cross. Hallelujah. And we desire above all things, Lord, for Your word to come down deep into our hearts, that we may leave this place, dear God, and live a redeemed life. Lord, it's what it's really got to all lead to, dear God. We can hear about it, we can think about it, we can read about it, Lord, but if it doesn't change the heart and the life, if it doesn't change who we are, if it doesn't bring us into a closer relationship, dear God, with each other and with You, dear God, then really what is it? I pray, dear God, as we are gathered in this place, Lord, we would truly desire, dear God, for Your redemption to be our life's blood. Your blood, dear God, becoming what we live. I pray, dear God, that Jesus will be glorified here in this time, in this hour, and Your name, dear God, will be exalted. We spoke of that earlier in the service, Lord. We exalt Thee. We exalt Thee. Hallelujah. And we thank You, dear God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Oh, there's a song. Amen. There's a song that by experience the angels can't sing. It's redeemed. Redeemed, redeemed. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. I don't think anybody here is old enough to remember something from 1945. One of us might be, but don't look around. No, you're not that old. Neither am I. I don't think any of us remember back here. But we've all heard about it. We've all heard about the dropping of the atomic bomb on Nagasaki in 1945. But are you familiar with, do you know about the other catastrophic event that happened in that city's history long before 1945? When the missionary Francis Xavier entered Japan in the 16th century, he found some Christians. He found some Christians already there. Turns out they were descendants of believers who had immigrated from China and also Korea. As Xavier preached, these people returned to the Lord with all their heart. Praise God. With all their heart. Sparking a revival in which multitudes of Japanese came to know Jesus. Now in response, of course the government always has a response to everything God tries to do, or everything He does do, the government launched a series of persecutions that lasted over 250 years. No one knows how many believers died in those years. but estimates range upward to 1 million people. The purge began on February 5th, 1597. As I said, it was a long time ago, 1597, and it was on top of a hill in Nagasaki, where 26 Christians were nailed to 26 crude crosses. Nothing fancy, nothing sanded down, nothing polished, just two boards stuck together. 26 Christians. The oldest martyr was 64 years old. The youngest martyr was a 12-year-old boy named Ibaragi Kun. Ibaragi Kun. As the torture began, a government official begged the boy to recant his faith, to back up on Jesus, and to say, no, I don't believe anymore, you know, just to get out of this crucifixion. And the young boy reportedly replied, sir, it would be better if you yourself became a Christian. It would be better if you yourself became a Christian and could go to heaven where I am going. And then he asked the man, he said, sir, which is my cross? Out of the 26, which one is my cross? The stunned official pointed to the smallest cross on the hill, and the boy knelt down in front of it, and on these crosses, the 26 martyrs of Nagasaki died for their faith. Now, it's possible, of course, that we may never actually be nailed to a literal cross, but don't count on it. As things get worse and worse in the world, and things get just really almost unbearable, and persecution spreads and it becomes more a part of this country as it is in other countries, we may not, you know, I mean, it may come. It just very well could come. But if it doesn't, the call upon our hearts and lives are to bear our testimony, as Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me, right? To bear our own testimony in a hostile world. That is our daily employment. That is our daily joy. Amen? To lift up the name of Jesus, to be a testimony unto Him, even as these 26 Christians who would not back down from their faith. It's really the same testimony because it's Jesus. Jesus had redeemed these 26 people. Jesus had paid the price for their sin. He really paid the price for everybody's sin, but you got to receive that. Amen? That's what the boy was talking about. It would be far better if you would become a Christian. Then you could be in heaven with me. Sir, which one is my cross? Which one is my cross? The Bible says that the redeemed of the Lord will say so. Will say so. Will say what? Will say that Jesus is the only Redeemer. That Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father but by Him. The redeemed of the Lord will say so. That in His mercy and grace, and the filled with the love of God, He gave His life, He shed His blood, so that we could be bought back. We could be redeemed. In a sense, Adam and Eve sold us into slavery, in a sense. But praise God, Jesus comes along and buys us back. So this redemption that we're talking about, this R-E word that is before us here today, is very, very important. And I think it's probably not a bad idea to start at the beginning. Now, how many agree with that? You think that's a good place to begin? Yeah, I think so too. You know, you begin at the end. Well, that's how I read a magazine, you know. I always look at the end first and then I flip through the other way. Believe me, I have no idea why. It just comes naturally or unnaturally, I suppose. But when it comes to something like this, let's start at the beginning. Okay? Start at the beginning. God had begun His story. You know that from Genesis. You know He had begun the story. It was His story. What does that tell you? His story? History? The history of God's people, amen, is found right there in Genesis. Praise God. Oh, there's creation, and there's Adam and Eve, and there's a whole bunch of things that go on after all of that. There's a flood that comes along after a while, and then there's stuff in there about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. But before the story of God could continue, I'm telling you, before the story could go on, it would have to be blessed. It would have to be blessed. I want you to turn to Genesis, please. Genesis chapter 48, please. The whole story would have to be blessed. And that's exactly what happens. You get down to the end of the book of Genesis, and what do you got? You got Jacob on his bed. He's not too far away from death. And he's blessing his family, gathered all around him. Takes them one by one, basically. All right? But the one I wanted to take a look at was in verses 15 and 16. So this is Genesis chapter 48. Praise God. Amen. Verses 15 and 16. And he blessed Joseph. All right. Blessed all the others too, but he blessed Joseph. And said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless these boys. Bless the lads. Now remember, these are all grown men by this time. You know, they're, you know, we're not talking about little 3 and 4 year olds running around looking for some kind of blessing. These are all gathered around, and he says, the angel which redeemed me from all evil. The angel. I want you to notice, first of all, it says the angel. I want you to notice, secondly, that the word angel is capitalized. I mean, the letter A of angel is a capital A. I believe this is referring to the angel of the Lord, which I believe, and not everybody has to believe this, okay, but I believe is an actual depiction or a picture of a pre-incarnate Christ. It is the Spirit of God, that part of God that became Jesus, or that filled Jesus later on, shows up many times throughout the Old Testament. Many times. The captain of the host in Joshua's day, as they're about to go over and take Jericho. Numerous places. The angel, not an angel, not a angel, okay, but the angel of the Lord, okay? And I think that's who we're talking about here. The angel which redeemed me from all evil. Bless these lads. bless these younger ones and let my name be named on them. And the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Praise the Lord. Joseph, you see, was a picture, an Old Testament type. I almost said the word stereotype, but that's goes in a different direction. It's a type of salvation and a type of Savior. Joseph in his life is a picture of Jesus and how he would redeem. It is, right? I mean, the rest of the family was against him. They throw him into a pit and they sell him into slavery. He ends up down in slavery, and then he ends up getting accused of stuff, and he ends up in jail. And this is all taking a lot of time. Several years, 17 years altogether. So he's in his 30s by the time he becomes second in command to Pharaoh. And what's he able to do when he does that? He's able to set it up so that his family, all 70 of them, back home, guess what? They don't end up starving in the worldwide famine. And that means the Jewish race continues and moves on. Eventually to what? The Savior being born, namely Jesus. Because if the Jews had been wiped out way back in Joseph's day, there'd be no Jesus. So Joseph is a picture. He is a type of Savior or salvation. All right? Physical picture of a Savior who would save all Israel from a famine and ultimately death, and ultimately make it possible for Jesus to still be born. Praise God. And now, he is blessed. He is blessed. To do what? To move on. Amen? He's blessed to take the next step. He's blessed to go ahead and carry the story from this point on. And because we got a lot of points to get to. No, what I mean is, the Bible has a lot of points to get to. We're only in Genesis. And we're talking about redemption from beginning to end. Alright? So, Joseph's got to move on. Praise God. Carry the story through. Because it's his story. Amen? The history of God's people. All right, and he would represent the process. The angel which redeemed me, he had said, from all evil. Okay, the word redeemed, right here in Genesis 48, verse 16. Okay, the angel which redeemed me from all evil is the Hebrew word gawal. Gawal. G-A-W-A-L. It is a primitive root word related to the Oriental law of kinship. Now when we say Oriental, I know our minds go to, you know, Chinese, Japanese, you know, Korean, you know, and all of that kind of thing. But Oriental is talking about this whole area. Okay, this whole area, which includes Israel and, you know, all the surrounding areas and so forth. So when it talks about Oriental law, it's talking about really that whole half of the world. Okay? To do what? To be next of kin. And as such, to be able to buy back a relative's property, to marry the widow in order to keep the line going, and so forth. Now does that at all sound familiar? That's just from the word redeemed. That's just from the word redeemed in the Hebrew, gawal. I think the most familiar picture that we have of this is from Ruth. So if you'll turn over to Ruth that we had read a little bit earlier. This is Ruth chapter 4. You know basically the story that Naomi had gone away with her family off to Moab, and everybody dies off but her and the two daughters-in-law, and so she's going to return to Bethlehem, where she was from, and Ruth insists on staying with her. Wherever you go, I will go. That's what she said. Naomi tried to influence her to go back. Go be with all your old gods. You know, I'm thinking, wait a minute. You know, why do you want her to go back to the old life? Why do you want her? I don't know. But Ruth wouldn't put up with it. Ruth said, wherever you go, I'm going to go. And your God is going to be my God. And you know the story. They went back, and here they find a relative of theirs, Boaz, who's got some property. He's got a farm going and needs some farm workers, needs some gleaners, and so forth. And so the women were instructed to, you know, to glean in certain fields at certain times. I want you to turn to Ruth chapter 4, and let's just, I'm not going to read the whole thing again, it was already read, but I want you to see the picture of it, okay? So Boaz, it says Boaz went up to the gate. People, you got to go to the gate, amen? If you're going to get anywhere in this story, if you're going to get anywhere in the whole idea of redemption, you got to go to the gate. Because that's where redemption is purchased. Amen? I'll show you that more specifically in a few minutes. But you can see it now in your own mind, I'm sure. And so there's this kinsman of theirs. And his name is Boaz. And he comes to the gate. And, you know, he's already discussed these things with Ruth and so forth. And so he's willing to be what they call the near kinsman redeemer. But he's not the next one. I mean, he's not the first choice. Oh, by choice, I mean, he's not the first in line. So Boaz calls this guy over and he takes 10 men of the elders of the city. You got to have witnesses for this thing, people. Amen? Our witness is the Holy Spirit. When redemption comes our way, it's the Holy Spirit who witnesses it. Praise God. Amen? That's why it says 10 men of the elders. 10 is a number of fulfillment, just like several other numbers are in the Jewish mindset. So he told them, sit ye down. And they all sat down, and he told them about Naomi and about the piece of land, Elimelech, and you know he had died, and so now all of this is all in question. And verse 4 says, "And I thought to advertise thee, I thought to strip thee in a sense, reveal thee, make it clear that you are the next in line. I don't want to go ahead and take on something here that is really intended for you to be the one to do it, if you'll do it." Okay? To uncover the ear. That's what this advertise is. To expand, to broaden out the ear so you can hear. We do that all the time, don't we? Somebody says something, what do? I don't know about you, but what I do is go like this. Because you know, sometimes, you know, I don't hear as well. Well, you take your hand. Go ahead and take your hand over your ear like this. Go ahead, right now. Take your hand over your ear. Do you hear any better? I mean, can you hear more clearly? Because, you know why? Because you've just made your ear bigger by putting your hand there. Now see, I don't need to do that. My grandfather had large ears. My dad had large ears. You know, I have large ears. But I do hear better if I put my hand back behind it. Because the hand catches it and sends it, you know, back in the head. Amen? So I thought to advertise thee. I thought to bring it all up, you know. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is none to redeem it beside thee. I am after thee. I will redeem it. Boaz is making it very clear. If you don't want to redeem this, just say so. I will redeem this. Then said Boaz, what day thou buy? Well, it goes on about the fields and about, but it's also going to involve Ruth. Okay? It's also going to involve Ruth, the wife of the guy that passed away, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. All right. I mean, it's really going to start making things confused if he goes ahead and marries her, and then he's already got a wife, and then he's already got an inheritance, and now there's going to be this other thing come into it. It gets pretty, you know, you're going to have to run around and find a lawyer somewhere. I don't even know that they had them, you know, to go find out how this goes. Redeem thou the right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. So he tells Boaz, you go ahead and do it. I know I'm the first in line, but I am not going to do it. Now, this was the manner, when I watch this, this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming. Redeeming. Concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man would pluck off his shoe and give it to his neighbor. I'm not quite sure exactly, you know, what that's all about, but I know that you take your sandal off, you take your shoe off, and it's going to be much harder for you to travel. It's going to be much harder for you to move on, to take the next step or whatever. So they are confirming with this little action about the shoe that he is going to go ahead and take it, that Boaz is going to go ahead and take it. Gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony. This was proof. This was the ritual that they did. Okay? About this shoe. Now, I've told you before, Ken Bailey was a theologian. He belonged to our presbytery when I was in the Moravia area. And he would be at presbytery meetings from time to time. And he preached one time, and he told specifically about how taking the shoe off in front of somebody was basically the same as really getting after them and, you know, telling them that, you know, there's an offense here. To take off the shoe and show the bottom of your foot is an offensive thing. Okay? This plucked means to pull up, to pull out, or to pull off. It is renouncing the legal rights. This other man, besides Boaz, had the legal right to buy back that property and even have Ruth as his wife and so forth and so on, okay? But he's giving it up. And the shoe is the signature. If maybe we could see it that way, a signature that says, yes, this deal has been explained, we all agree, now let's sign it. And that's what the shoe was. It was kind of like the signature. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. You go ahead, Boaz, you do it. I mean, you already said you want to, and I don't want to, so you go ahead and do it. So he drew off his shoe. Like I say, it's kind of like the stamp, you know? It's kind of like the crimper on the diploma. It's sealed. It's a done deal. You know what I'm saying? Right? Okay? So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and to all the people, here we are, I'm reading it all over again, but you get the idea. Ye are witnesses this day. Praise God for the witnesses. Here are these people. Where are they? They're at the gate. That's where the redemption takes place. Because the gate was the place where the leaders of the town would gather and conduct the business. At the gate. Makes it clear in verse 10 that Ruth is involved in this whole thing and that to raise up children through her and all that. Ye are witnesses this day. Amen? The redeemed of the Lord will say so. and you take your shoe off, you're saying so. Amen? And all the people that were in the gate and the elders, they said, we are witnesses. This is important. Amen? And when we come into this place of redemption and Jesus says, here I have redeemed you by the blood on the cross of Calvary, praise God. There have got to be witnesses. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit witnesses the whole thing. Amen? Got to be witnesses. And then there's the prophetic word, I guess, that, you know, that Ruth would be like Rachel and Leah. Why? Because they just, you know, had kid after kid after kid and literally built up the house of Israel. The 12 tribes come from their kids. And do thou worthily in Ephratah, which is a reference to Bethlehem, and be famous in Bethlehem. Well, they are. Amen? Remember the story I told about just kind of figuring what it was like to travel through the area, and there's a sign up on, this is, you know, who was born here, who was famous here, you know, who slept where, you know, that kind of thing. And Boaz is right on there. Amen? David's on there. Right? I'm talking figuratively. I don't know that there's any sign that says something like that. All right? Praise the name of Jesus. To do the part, that's what it means. That's what redemption is. To do the part of the kinsman redeemer. That's who Boaz was once this other guy let it go. It's an avenging of circumstances by a revenger. Now let me say that again. It's an avenging of circumstances by a revenger. It's a deliverance. It's a purchase. It's a buyback. You know, just, I mean, it was pictured here in the children's sermon with Joel, you know, he had kidnapped Brownie. Red Brownie. Red Brownie. You know why he's called Brownie, don't you? Because he's got brown eyes and he loves to eat brownies. That's what he told me. Brownie, okay? So Joel kidnapped him, right? Sent the ransom note, what was it? 100 million pennies. So they go ahead and Ben, ran over there, gave him the 100 million pennies. Pretend, of course. And, you know, and then Brownie was given back and he was ransomed. Amen? Purchased. Redeemed. Buy back. Praise God. That's the idea. So whether it be salvation from the bondage in Egypt, as we saw pictured in Joseph, who was able to make it to the top, so to speak, and end up saving all of Israel. They did not die in that worldwide famine. And eventually, years later, Jesus would be born. Amen? So whether it be salvation from bondage in Egypt or the preservation of the messianic line like we saw with Ruth and Boaz, because that's what happened there too. Amen? They go ahead and get married and they have children and guess what? You know? And Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. And through the centuries, David begets Jesus. He's in the line. The legal line. Praise the name of Jesus. It's all a picture, no matter what part of this you look at, whether you look at Genesis at the very beginning or you look at Ruth somewhere in the middle, amen? As you work your way from beginning to end, it's praise God about redemption, about a buyback program, God's buyback program. Praise God for that. Amen? It's all a picture of what Jesus has done for us. Alright? At the gate. I said at the gate. Because it's outside the gate of Jerusalem that Jesus went to a cross to buy you back from Satan. And to buy me back. Do you get it? It's got to be at the gate. Because that's where the business is conducted. Alright? It's all a picture. The whole thing is leading up to see what Jesus has done for us. And I'm telling you, the redeemed of the Lord will say so. Okay. Amen? Yes. The redeemed of the Lord will say so. He ransomed us back from Satan when we couldn't even begin to pay the price. Remember the story Jesus told just briefly? Remember the two guys, you know? One owed a little and one owed a whole lot. You know the whole story, right? Couldn't even begin to pay it back. When he couldn't even begin to pay the price, when we couldn't even begin to pay the price, Jesus did it. And then don't think that it's going to always be a piece of cake or it's going to be a walk in the park. Sure, all things, the Bible says, you know this from Romans 8, all things work for the good for those who love God and are the called according to His purpose. That does not guarantee that there aren't any problems along the way. Or what we perceive to be problems. I mean, even to the point of, say, sickness and even death. Certainly we perceive that to be a problem, don't we? I mean, isn't that what... Aren't we kind of conditioned to see things that way? Well, the fact of the matter is, if we love God and are called according to the purpose, it's all in God's hands. Amen? It's all in God's hands. And it says all, by the way. It doesn't say some, or it doesn't say some, a few, or anything like that. It's all things work for the good. Amen? But that doesn't mean that everything goes the way we like it to. I ran across a devotional this past week, okay, while I was, or it might have been the previous week actually, while I was in the hospital. I ran across this devotional. This is Robert Morgan, by the way. He tells a story kind of on himself. He says, one day over lunch this week, I asked my wife a strange question. It was sort of out of the blue, and she didn't know what to make of it. I asked her this: how would you react if a good friend came up to you and sliced you with a knife? Now we're talking good friend. What would be your reaction? How would you react to that? If a good friend comes up to you and slices you with a knife. Now, why he thought of this illustration, I couldn't tell you. But you'll see where he's going in a second. Well, she said, I'd be shocked. I'd be shocked. That would be terrible. And he said, yes, but what if that friend were a surgeon and he was performing an operation that would end up saving your life? Well, that makes a difference. As long as it involves an operating room and anesthesia. Amen? It's not just slicing you open with a knife, but if it's a good friend who's a good doctor and a good surgeon and you need that surgery and you have the operating room and you have the anesthesia and you have all of that, okay? Then, I mean, nobody wants to have surgery. Nobody likes surgery, I don't imagine, okay? But you welcome it because you know that it's meant to make you well or better. Okay? But if somebody just came up to you with a big knife and slashed you, you wouldn't see it the same way. Of course, you wouldn't see it the same way. Well, there are times, as he goes on to talk about this a little bit, he says, there are times when the Lord allows things to happen that we don't like at the time. Like saying, getting sick, Like in my case, for example. I didn't like being sick, you know, and going to the hospital and, you know, and all of that. Okay? We don't like it at the time. But we know that God intends that all things are for our good if we love Him and we are the called according to His purpose. In other words, we've surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and we are living for Him. We are living the redeemed life. Amen? Which is all about loving the Lord and His church. Because it all goes together. He's the head of the body. Amen? He intends all things for our good. That he does all things well. And that in all things, we are more than conquerors, it says elsewhere. So as Job put it, though he slay me, Job said this. And you know the junk he went through. You know the sores all over his body and the family lost and everybody gone and his wife telling him go ahead and die and, you know, and all of that. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Amen? Though he slay me, though he slashes me with that knife without the operating room. All right? Though he slay me, though he kill me, I will trust him because I know that God has a purpose, a greater purpose. I know, he said, Job did, my Redeemer lives. Amen? I know my Redeemer lives and he's going to stand up on that last day and I'm going to be with him. Amen? And there we are. The Redeemer and the redeemed. But that's not lived out willy-nilly, just any way we want to do it. And, you know, I got to do what I got to do. And all of that stuff that you hear so many people, come up with. No, it's talking about dedication and devotion. Amen? To Him, to His church. I know my Redeemer lives. Our friend Jesus, by the way, this is still Rob Morgan. Our friend Jesus is the great physician. Now listen carefully because now he really makes it clear what he's talking about. Just think about it for a minute. Our friend Jesus is the great physician who will never harm us but will always do us good. And even if it appears for a moment that he is harming us, we know it's in appearance only and not in reality. See, if you love God and are part of the called according to his purpose, amen, he's not harming you. But it sure looks like he is. I mean, you know, okay, so you get sick, you go in the hospital, and you die. It looks like God harmed you, doesn't it? I mean, it does look that way. But that's only in appearance because God has already promised that he works all things. I said all. Amen? For the good. For those that love God and are called according to his purpose. And there are so many people out there, so many theologies, so many churches, so many pastors that are preaching this other thing, you know, where everything, you know, just, you need somebody to fix up your life? You need to help somebody help you with your problem? That's not how you come to salvation. That's not how you come to really being surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus. You know, if you're just looking for somebody to help you with your problem, That's not salvation. Okay? I mean, it isn't. Because salvation is, you know, that involves a surrender to the Lordship of Jesus. That involves being changed. That involves, you know, no longer your life being lived. No longer what you want to do. You're all out for God. That's salvation. And that's the fruit of salvation. Amen? Okay? We know that it's in appearance only if it looks like, if we think for even a moment that God is hurting us or turning against us or whatever. It's not in reality, it's in appearance only. For it will inexorably turn for our good. This is Rob Morgan. We can trust Him completely and joyfully, for He does all things well. And then at another time, Reverend Morgan wrote a poem one time, and this was part of that poem. Listen, praise God who works all things for good for those who love His name. His providential care shall turn all blessings into gain. Amen? I think we can't lose the other part of that verse too. It's not just, you know, those that love Him. A lot of people say they love Him but don't live for Him. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. So you're not obeying God. You're not doing what God tells you to do. I mean, really, from the Bible, what he tells you to do, then you're not really loving God. People say they love God. But I'm talking about really. Okay? That's just, you know, you're saying so. So really, this ought to say, you know, for those who love His name and are part of the called, in other words, redeemed. Those that are redeemed. I mean, not just say they are, but really are redeemed. You've been bought back. You've been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And it changes you from the inside out. And you live for God. You don't just live for yourself or listen to other people and do whatever they say to do and all of that kind of thing. Ah, that's not Christianity. That's not salvation. From beginning to end, the redeemed of the Lord will say so. Amen? Will say so. Genesis, Ruth, and now Revelation. I want you to turn way over to Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. And here's how we'll conclude this thing. You'll turn to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. I think you'll be amazed at this. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. Alright? This is in the first few chapters. John has already been told to come up hither, which is a picture of the rapture. So, you know, he's up there viewing all of these things. Like I say, it's a picture of the rapture. But, you know, this is all a vision for him. And you get into chapter 5, and there's talk of the book and the lamb and so forth. But in verse 9, yeah, chapter 5, verse 9, it says, and they sung a new song. Redeemed, redeemed. Amen? There's a new song. They sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain, talking about Jesus here, and hast what? Redeemed us to God by His blood. Redeemed us to God by His blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. This thing we're talking about, this redemption, is available to all people. Amen? It's available to all people. But that's where the surrender comes in. It's just an automatic because, you know, He's done this thing. It's got to be something received. Praise the Lord. That's where repentance comes in. Praise God. Now it's made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Well, back up on that. Has redeemed us to God by the blood. Amen. By the blood. Now the Greek word here for redemption is It's not the same word that we saw earlier. Well, you know it's not, because the other one was Hebrew and this one's Greek. Okay? But listen to what this one means. It's agorizo. Agorizo. Literally, it means to go to market. That's what it means. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. It means to go to market in order to purchase. This is sounding just a little bit familiar, isn't it? Amen? It's a different word though. It's a different word. And it's still redemption. Praise the name of Jesus. It comes from the Greek word agora. Agora. And get this, it means to gather at the town square as a place of public resort. Like Boaz purchasing Ruth in the town square. Amen? It's got to happen at the gate, because that's where the business of God is conducted. At the gate. Praise God. And Jesus, hallelujah, was just outside the gate of Jerusalem when he was put on that cross. It's at the gate. It's where redemption is proclaimed. From Genesis to Revelation. We saw it ourselves. We were there with Joseph. We were there with Ruth and Boaz. And now we're here in the book of Revelation. Praise God, and it's speaking of the same thing, but using a different word. Amen? Hallelujah. God developed the theme all the way through the scriptures. It's all about buying us back. That's what it is. Bought us back from satanic control. We don't have to listen to Satan anymore. We don't have to listen to his lies. Amen? Praise the name of Jesus. It's the gate. It's where the redemption is proclaimed. From Genesis to Revelation, from beginning to the end, the redeemed of the Lord will say so. Amen. Right? Amen. Amen. Amen? Yeah. I know that. And what? We're going to be standing there together in the last day. He's not going to leave me. He's not going to forsake me. And if you're loving God, I mean loving God, not just saying so. Your life shows you're loving God. Amen? Your life proves it. Praise God. And you are part of the called according to His purpose. Amen? There's a redemption. Hallelujah. And the redeemed of the Lord will say so. Amen? Hallelujah. Say so. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Father, I just want to thank you for your truth here today. Oh, for this R-E word, dear God. Hallelujah. We see how it, in a sense, developed throughout all of the scriptures from Genesis through Ruth and, oh, there's so many other places. And then all the way to Revelation, praise the name of Jesus. Different words. The Hebrew, Greek, it doesn't matter. It still talks about how you bought us back. And we want to thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Redemption. Redemption. Redeemed. Hallelujah. Bought back. And it's all to your glory. Amen? Amen. So we thank you, Lord. We love you. And Lord, now we want to live that redemptive life. And that's going to take your Holy Spirit. And praise God, the Holy Spirit is the witness to that redemption. Whether we truly are or whether we truly aren't, He knows one way or the other. So we come, Lord, and we just want to give you the glory today. Hallelujah. Because the redeemed of the Lord will say so. Praise the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise God.